Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Nick Vujicic, welcome to Open House.
Thank you very much.
And kind of welcome back home, although Australia is no longer home, is it?
I still call Australia home, but I can sing that song. But LA now is where we reside and where the minister is based, yeah.
Okay, well, here we are sitting in a hotel room, and you've been kind of whizzed through with your special little motorized buggy there. How would you describe that?
It's my little BMW 7 Series. I'm going to get like a big subwoofer in it and stuff, and I control it with my little foot. Having no arms, no legs, you know, obviously has its limitations, but I'm just so thankful for being able to have the opportunity to be mobile and independent to quite a good level. So yeah, mate, it's got hydraulics and it goes about 8 kilometres an hour. I'm getting a new one, actually. It's going to raise the seat up to 6'6" if I wanted to be taller. So yeah, it's pretty good.
Absolutely. Well, I want to talk about what you can and cannot do, because there's a lot of things that you can do. We'll talk about that in a second. Let's go back to the beginning, though. Back to a hospital room in a Melbourne hospital, 1982. Your mum's giving birth to her first child. Was there any signs that this child, you, would actually be different?
My parents had 3 ultrasounds done, and they just didn't check, you know, the doctors, the whatever the people are who actually scan it, and they're supposed to be doing like these measurements to tell the size of the baby and the growth from like the elbow to the fingers and then knee to the toes, sort of thing. But they never did that with me, so there was no warning. The doctors didn't know, my parents didn't know, and you know, no genealogy of disabilities up or down the ladder or the chain in our families, both families. I have a brother and a sister who's both younger than me, arms and legs, and you know, just one of these things that happen.
Often when we think of people in your situation, we often think, well, maybe that was a thalidomide child.
Yeah, well, I was born in the 1980s, so my mum also was a nurse, and she delivered many babies before I was born, so she knew quite well what that was, and actually she had a premonition that something would go wrong in her first pregnancy, that she didn't even take any Panadol when she had a headache or anything. So yeah, it wasn't thalidomide, and the doctors still don't know what it is, and so they called it phocomelia, which basically means being born without arms and legs for no medical reason. Yeah,
there's a special name for that now.
There you go.
I guess it would have been a pretty difficult thing for your parents to get used to right from the beginning.
Well, absolutely. It took my mum about 4 months before she came to terms with it. My dad took the initiative to hold me first, and they took me home, but it still just was very, very, you know, it was puzzling, it was shocking, it was tragic, it was horrific. I mean, it's basically like a nightmare for my parents. You know, why? Why did this happen? My mum and dad weren't just believers in God, but they were pastors of a church, lay pastors. My dad's been a lay pastor for now 26 odd years. And, you know, the whole church was like, well, where's God in this? You know, why would God let that happen? And just, it was very, very trying for everybody.
I guess being pastors, they would have prayed for a miracle?
Absolutely, absolutely. The whole church did. You know, I believe in a God of miracles myself. I, you know, grew up learning about, you know, Jesus loving me and how, you know, he has a plan for me and a hope and a future, and that, you know, he, you know, Jesus, he healed many people. And I'm like, well, where's my miracle? You know, and I prayed for a miracle. You know, it says, ask and you shall receive, and faith of mustard seed can move mountains. It's not about the size of faith. It's about the existence of faith. And no matter how minute that faith was, it's a little faith in God who can do all things. So that was puzzling to me. And I actually hated God for many years of my life. You know, the song, Jesus loves all the children of the world. Mm. You know, I went to school and I saw the other kids, and I'm like, God, if you love me like you love all the other kids, then why did you give me less? Mm. And I prayed for an answer, why, and he didn't answer me for many, many years. Mm. And it was very lonely at times. I think what's the worst disability in the world is fear of loneliness. Fear is going to paralyze you more than having no arms, no legs. And if you don't know the answers to any of these 3 questions, number one, who am I? Number two, why am I here? And number three, where am I going when I'm not here? If you don't know for sure any of those answers, that will cripple you more than having no limbs. And I didn't just have no arms, no legs. I didn't know why I was here. I didn't know why he wasn't giving me arms and legs, and why he wasn't answering me. And I had pain. And so if God wasn't going to stop my pain, I was. And so I tried to do that. 8 years old, tried to drown myself in a bathtub of 10 centimeters of water. Turned over about 2 or 3 times, and couldn't go through with it just because of the visual of my parents, you know, watching, or, you know, at my grave, and You know, I didn't want to leave them with a lifetime of guilt in their shoulders, you know, wishing they could have done something more for their son. So I loved my parents more than myself at that stage, and I just tried to get through one day at a time.
When did your parents discover about that little event when you were 8 years old?
What happened was, I don't think my parents actually knew until I was a teenager that I tried to commit suicide at 8 years old. But that night, after trying to take my life, I spoke to my five-year-old brother at the time, Aaron. And I could see myself going to school, I could see myself going to high school, could maybe see myself go through university, but I didn't see a life after that. You know, I thought I was just going to be a burden to my parents for the rest of my life, and there's no hope or future for me. So I told my brother, I'm going to kill myself at 21. And so he said, oh, I'm going to tell Dad. So he tells Dad. Dad comes in, and, you know, he comes and comforts me and, you know, puts his hands through my hair and calms me down and prays with me and assures me, you know, that God will never leave me or never forsake me. And sometimes God doesn't make sense, but he's going to be with us, you know.
Look at some video footage that you've got on your website. You seemed like a happy kid. You seemed like, you know, you're able to do a whole bunch of things. You're learning to play the piano. You're learning to swim. At some stage, though, things did get difficult. Was that at school? Was it the schoolyard that actually brought on those, I guess, those real difficult times of feeling like it's just not going to be worth it?
Until I went to school, I knew that I had no arms, no legs, but it wasn't such a big deal until I had the unwanted attention of people ridiculing me and rejecting me and alienating, not being able to play, not being able to do this, looking weird and all that sort of thing. I was still even a quite happy kid generally during my childhood. I mean, I had my ups and downs and stuff, but, you know, I learned how to write with my foot and type with my foot and swim and golf and fish and play the piano. You know, I loved doing all that. So, yeah, it was definitely at the schoolyard, you know, when I'd get teased a lot and, you know, I'd come home crying and Mum would throw in a song by Johnny Erickson Tata, how cool it is to be in a wheelchair and, you know, we all got wheels, cool, you know. That was sometimes the only encouragement that I could receive at that time, because anyone with arms and legs, even my parents, I knew they didn't understand my pain. You know, tears are a language that only God understands. There were times where all I could do was just cry and just be held. And those were hard moments. It was also for my parents. I mean, you can only do so much for your child. But they continued to encourage me throughout my childhood. You know, my mum gave me wisdom in that when people see me for the first time, they don't know exactly how to approach me and, you know, can they have a level of conversation with me and all that sort of thing. And so she said, basically, Nick, just start talking to people and then they'll see, you know, that you're just like anybody else. And so I started doing that, and that's when I started becoming more confident in myself. Just instead of concentrating on what I don't have, concentrate on what I do have.
This is Open House right across the nation. Nick Vujicic is our special guest tonight. Born with no arms, no legs, inspiring thousands, though, through his story and also through his faith in God, too, which we're going to get to in just a minute. Let's talk about what you can do, because you can do a lot. And if anybody goes to your website and sees the various video clips there, they can see you doing everything from looking after yourself, combing your hair, to typing out emails, to swimming. I think probably the most arresting image for me is actually watching you plunge into that, what's a very, very deep pool, and start swimming. It's funny, you have to explain for people who haven't seen just how you actually swim and how you play golf.
Well, I hold, first of all, the putter. I don't drive or chip, but I do putt. I can actually go to a golf club and just sit there for 2.5 hours just practicing my putts. I find that very relaxing. So I hold that between my chin and my shoulder, and I putt that way. And the way that I learned to swim was through my dad. He put his hand under my head when I was a toddler, actually 18 months old, and he taught me how to float as a very, very young child in a bathtub, and then I started swimming at 6 all by myself. And basically, having no arms, no legs, I have a normal lung capacity, which allows me to be buoyant, even if I'm still. So, and then I use my foot to basically turns into a motor and get to paddle through.
So there's so many things that you can do. I mean, some of the other things, you can fry eggs, you can open a can of Coke, you can clean your teeth, you can do so many of those kinds of things. What can't you do? It's almost a funny question to ask a guy without arms and legs, but because you can do so much, I'm interested to know, what can't you do?
You know what? There are still many things that I can't do, but I enjoy many times. I love to challenge myself, you know, with what I can do. I went surfing last year in Waikiki in Hawaii and got up on my longboard, and I was on the front page of Surf Magazine because of it. But the thing I really want to talk about is what can I do is, first of all, know who I am, and I want to get into that. I'm a child of God. I'm the richest man on earth because I have peace. I have something that money cannot buy. I have my identity. I'm forgiven of my sins. I know who I am, and I know why I'm here, and I know where I'm going when I'm not here. You know, when I see God face to face, He's going to ask me two questions, I believe. Do you know me, and who did you bring? And, you know, I was thinking the other day, actually, this is probably about 3 weeks ago now, it would have been the saddest day in heaven for me if God actually gave me arms and legs at 8 years old. You know, I used to beg for God to give me arms and legs. And today, I do believe in a God of miracles. I've seen blind people seeing, deaf people hearing, lame people walking. We've got on our cameras as we traveled across 14 countries last year. I believe in a God of miracles and have a pair of shoes in my closet just in case. But the faith is that full assurance in the heart, F-A-I-T-H, that what God doesn't change, He will use. Romans 8:28, all things come together for the good for those who love Him. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. That God's grace is sufficient. You know, when you have suffering in your life, you subconsciously compare your suffering to somebody else's. But that's not hope. Hope is when you compare your suffering to the grace of God. And that's where the hope is, that God never makes a mistake. He knew me before the earth began. That's what Jeremiah 1 says. Psalm 139 says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So I tell many teenagers out there that, you know, it's not about how you look. It's whose you belong to. You know, every girl, you're beautiful just the way that you are. You don't need to be taller, shorter, fatter, thinner, whatever it is, smarter, more athletic guys. You know, so many girls that want boyfriends just to feel loved and wanted. You know, you can't find your happiness in relationships either. There's one thing worse, being single and alone, it's being married and alone. I've actually been given the greatest gift of all. You see, if I was born without arms and legs just for one more soul to come to Jesus Christ and for them to be in heaven, what a sad day it would have been that if God said yes to my prayer at 8 years old, and if I had enough time in heaven to actually sit down with God and say, God, you know, out of all the wrong choices I've made, which one was the one that stuck out to you? I'm sure He would have then said, you know what, Nick, I actually created you without arms and legs to be the miracle I wanted you to be. And if you just asked me for my will instead of your will, I would have kept you without arms and legs. And before the age of 27, 200,000 souls would have been here. So far I've spoken to 600 million people. I'm not joking. 1 in 10 in the world know who I am. I've traveled across 24 countries, spoken to 3 million people face to face. We've seen 200,000 first decisions for Christ. And if it's only one soul that comes to heaven, then it's all worth it. You see, 2 years ago, I met a little boy with no arms, no legs. His name's Daniel in California. And his mum came up to me and said, Nick, I can't believe I'm meeting you. Just happened to meet in the church they were at. No arms, no legs, little foot just like me. Doctors didn't know why. Doctors don't know what kind of life he's going to have. He's not going to walk. He's going to be a vegetable for the rest of his life. He's going to be a burden to you. No, now I'm his miracle. I'm the miracle now of God for somebody else. And when God doesn't give you a miracle, you are a miracle of God. I can't guarantee your business is not going to fail. I can't guarantee you that your cancer is going to be healed. But I'll tell you one thing, that God is with you and He never makes a mistake. And every day He asks me, will you trust me? So 3 things I do daily is I pray, I thank God, and I trust God. That's it.
That's beautiful. When did that faith become a reality for you personally? You were mentioning before that your mum and dad were pastors, lay pastors, and yet there must have been a point in time where you chose to take on that faith personally. And secondly, there must have been a time where you almost forgave God. You know, you said for a while you were angry at God. Tell me about those two moments.
You know, that's such a good question. I like it how you asked me that. First of all, I gave my life to Jesus Christ at 15 when I read John 9 about a man who was born blind. And 3 verses changed my life forever. It was about how Jesus goes through a village and a man was born with a disability without his sight and no one knew why. And Jesus said it was done so that the works of God may be revealed through him. And 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, all scripture is God breathed. When I read that, and faith comes by hearing of the word, I had this faith, this peace, this closure in my mind where I feel like God's asking me, Nick, do you trust me? Just because the blind man didn't know why he was born that way doesn't mean that there is no reason for it, you know, that God doesn't know. Just because I don't know doesn't mean God doesn't know. So that was a huge revelation for me. And that day I said, God, if you give me arms and legs, I'll serve you. And if you don't give me arms and legs, I'll still serve you. Because the greater need for me is not even to get out of a global economic crisis. It's not a need to have arms and legs. I've lied once, I've stolen once, I've cheated once, I've lusted once, I've hated somebody once, I've broken every single commandment just about. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not perfect and I never will be perfect. Am I perfect today? No. But because I believe that Jesus is Lord and he died on the cross for my sins, the only holy man who claimed to be holy, who pointed to himself and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, who claimed to die for the sins of the world, who rose from the dead, because I confess that I'm a sinner and he's Lord of my life, I'm saved. And that's the need I had had, and now it's fulfilled. You know, I know so many people who have held God accountable or maybe held something against God because he took away my father or he took away my job or he let this happen and let my mum die of cancer. You know, I was 6 years old and my 27-year-old first cousin died of bowel cancer and I asked God not to take him away, but he did. And yeah, I felt like, I think I started forgiving, well, not started to forgive God, but I think I forgave God when I was 13, when I read a newspaper article of a man with a disability, and I realized I have a choice to either be angry at God for what I don't have or be thankful for what I do have. Mm-hmm. And so that was 13.
Since that point on, you have then relocated to the US. You're now based there, and then you're traveling all around the world. How many countries before, you said?
24, and it started with me speaking at a public high school in Brisbane back in 2002, so about 7 years ago. And I had 300 year 10 students there and I had 7 minutes to talk. And I was a bit scared, you know, my palms were sweating, my knees were shaking. And I got up there.
It takes
and,
a while for some of us to get
those. Yeah, you like that? So I didn't know exactly what to say. And within 3 minutes, half the girls were crying. And one girl in the middle of the room just started weeping. And everybody saw her and she felt very embarrassed. And she put up her hand and she came up and she said, can I just give you a hug? And I said, absolutely. So she came and she hugged me in front of everyone. And she was just crying on my shoulder and she whispered in my ear, thank you. No one's ever told me that I'm beautiful the way that I am. No one's ever told me that they love me. Mm. And it changed my life. And I'm like, wow, this is what I was born to do. It was right after a Hillsong conference and a trip to America that you know, things really hit me, that this is exactly what I was called to do. So I was halfway through my degree in accounting and financial planning. And I finished the degree 18 months later and went into full-time ministry.
And look at all the lives that have been touched, as you've already mentioned. This is Open House right across the nation. Nick Vujicic was born without arms and legs, and yet he's inspiring thousands right around the globe with his faith and with his story. There'll be people listening to us, Nick, who will be feeling like they really are in the pits. They really are in the depths. There will also be some parent who might have had some sort of test to actually find out if their child is healthy, you know, pre-birth, might actually have even thought about termination of a birth that isn't going to be fully perfect. I want you to address those people as well. Just leave us with something to, I guess, contemplate.
You know, if first of all, to the parents of a child who might be born with any complication, even with mental complications, I believe God never makes a mistake. I believe that in that ministry of parenting a child who cannot speak, who cannot look after themselves, that is one of the greatest displays of God's unconditional love between a parent and a child, that he lavishes blessings on us and looks after us, and there is no way that we can give back. And that, to me, I think is one of the most inspiring ways to share God's love. For everybody else, I never lie to people and say that I understand their pain. I actually think it's worse being in a broken home than having no arms, no legs. I think it's worse being addicted to pornography or alcoholism than having no arms, no legs. You know, if you put your happiness in anything else than God, you are not going to find what you're looking for. Money, drugs, sex, alcohol, friends, relationships, even family will fail you at times, but God never fails. And the peace that you're looking for is not in a temporary thing, but it's in an everlasting thing. There is a God-shaped hole in all of us. We all have disabilities. You know, talking about babies being born perfect. Who is perfect? What is perfect? There is no such thing. But we're all beautiful and fearfully and wonderfully made. And we serve a perfect God. So I want to pray for you guys out there. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask God that you would bless each listener tonight. We ask God that you would touch us wherever we are. We thank you, Lord, that no matter what pit of depression, anxiety, stress, and fear, brokenness, loneliness, addiction, oppression, depression, in Jesus' name we thank you, Lord, that no matter how deep that pit is, that the foot of the cross even reaches us. We thank you, Lord, that there is not one sin that you cannot forgive. There is not one problem that you cannot change or give enough strength for us to get through. We thank you, Lord, that we can endure all things through Christ who strengthens us. We thank you, Lord, for this life. Thank you, Lord, for love. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus on the cross. Thank you, Lord, that this life is always an uphill climb. It will never plateau. But we know that the end is home, home eternal. We thank you, Lord, that as we take one more step higher on that uphill climb, the higher we climb, the more we see. And Father, when we feel like falling, we thank you that you're the one standing right by us. We thank you, Lord, that you're with us. Thank you for your grace. Touch everybody. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.